بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله this week the book of رياض الصالحين that we cover every Saturdays in which the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned specifically the hadith of فضائل the hadith of virtue the person listens to those hadith and he goes back or she goes back and then they practice upon those hadith and they implement them into their lives. So this chapter, Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought a new chapter and he's titled it Bab al-Wasiyyati bin Nisa. The chapter which mentions dealing with women and dealing with women with goodness and with khair and how a person should treat their women, their wives. So wasiyya means bequest in Arabic. So generally when a person passes away, then the last will that they may make or what they say with their mouth, they may make a bequest. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many different ahadith, he would say, Istawsu bin nisa. I am giving you some advice about women. So this is why the entire chapter has been titled, Al-Wasiyyatu bin nisa, the chapter which discusses the advice that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us about treating our wives with goodness. And as is the custom of Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he starts each chapter of his book Riyadu Saliheen with a few verses of the Holy Quran. And then he bases the ahadith off of those verses and he backs those verses up with the ahadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first verse he brings is a verse, is a small part of a verse of Surah Al-Nisa wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in regards to a person's wives that وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that when you deal or the way you behave with your wife, the way a person behaves with their wife, it changes from person to person because every person has a different temperament. Every person's wife has a different temperament. Some people are quick to get angry. Some people are quick to get upset. Women, some may get more emotional, others may be less emotional. Every person is different. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the standard advice, which is وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the standard advice, which is وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. When you deal with your wives, always deal with them with goodness. عَاشِرُوا, from the to live your life with them. You're going to live your lives with these women, then live your lives with them in a way which shows goodness and kindness at every moment. And then the next verse he brings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ وَإِنْ تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Again a verse of Surah Al-Nisa. Inside of this surah, Surah Al-Nisa, which starts from the fourth juz of the Holy Quran, there are many ahkam and many rulings regarding women. So in this verse again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that none of you, Allah ta'ala is addressing those people who have more than one wife. Allah ta'ala is addressing the people who have more than one wife. And Allah ta'ala is saying, وَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ, that you will never be able to be 100% just and fair between your spouses. If you have a few wives, it's impossible to treat each one of them exactly the same. It's not possible. Allah is saying, وَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعُوا, you will never be able to do so, that you treat one wife exactly the same as you treat another one. There will be some inequality somewhere. As a human being, it's impossible to be able to treat them exactly the same. And then he's saying, وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ, even if you are striving to do this, even if you are striving to fulfill the rights of your spouses, you may have two, you may have three, you may have four, which Sharia has allowed, it's difficult. It's going to be impossible for you to fulfill, basically give them all exactly 100% equal rights in every single aspect. Then Allah Ta'ala says, so because this is the case, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ, because even naturally, I mean, in terms of affection, and in terms of love. Now affection is an emotion of the heart. So when a person has affection for someone, it's difficult to say, I have 100% the same amount of love I have for this spouse, that's the amount of love I have for that one. It's very difficult, because this is beyond the control of a person. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody used to know that his most beloved wife to him was Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha. There are so many ahadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the virtue of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha over all the other women. وَفَضْلُ, in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the greatest, the four greatest women who ever existed, and he mentions Maryam alayhi salam, then he mentions Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and then he mentioned Fatima, his own daughter radiallahu anha, Khadija his beloved wife radiallahu anha. But at the end of the hadith, he mentions وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَةَ عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. That, however, I've mentioned that these are the four greatest women. However, the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like the virtue of Thareed over the rest of the foods. Meaning, out of all the foods, the most favorite food to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a thareed. Thareed is like a mixture, is like a dish where meat and bread has been mixed together. Rasulullah enjoyed this and loved this and relished this the most. So he says, Aisha's virtue, superseding, which supersedes the rest of the women, is equivalent to thareed's virtue over the remaining foods. So, from this hadith, we can understand how in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatina Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha occupied a very special status. And it's evident why, especially after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, when Sayyidatina Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, some ulama say, was only 19 years old when he passed away. However, she lived till the grand age of 60 or 60 plus. And in that time, she narrated, out of all the Sahaba, she narrated the second most ahadith. The Sahabi who narrated the most hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. But straight after him was Sayyidatina Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha. But alongside narrating the second most ahadith from the Sahaba, she was also the faqiha. When the Sahaba was stuck in an issue, that how should we resolve this issue, they would bring this issue to Aisha radiallahu anha. And because she found the age of the tabi'een, whenever they had a conflict or a matter in which they did not know the solution, they would bring that to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she would solve it for them. Anyway, so it goes to show that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his heart, he had more affection for Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha over his other wives. Did not mean that he mistreated the other wives, but it's a natural thing. So Allah Ta'ala is addressing this. Allah Ta'ala is saying, it's impossible for you to give every single person exact same rights, whether it's in terms of practical rights or even in terms of the love that you have for them in your hearts. So then Allah Ta'ala advises, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. So if one of them is more attractive to you or one of them is more beloved to you, then don't totally become inclined towards her. فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَ. So you leave the other one hanging. Where the other one feels and knows that my husband doesn't have any love for me, my husband has love for the other spouse. So even though it's almost impossible for you to be able to be 100% in your justice between them. And you see, this is why a person who has more than one spouse, people very quickly do it. And especially people who feel that their wives are timid and their wives are going to be okay with it. Remember, this fulfilling the huquq of each spouse is very, very difficult. One of the great scholars of the Indian subcontinent, he was so particular. He had two wives, and Allah Ta'ala did not bless him with any children. He just had two wives. However, he was so particular about fulfilling the rights of his spouse, both of his wives, that even if he were to go to the marketplace to buy a fruit, a watermelon or some sort of fruit, he would make the seller measure the watermelon, and whatever was the weight of the first watermelon, the other one would have to be exactly the same, and then he would give one to each wife. So he'd try his best. But Allah Ta'ala has made it very clear to us in here in the Qur'an that it's impossible that a person can be 100% just, as long as you are not being unjust towards your wives. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. If you are just and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your dealings, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. So these are the two ayat he brings. I'll mention one or two hadith for this week inshaAllah, and then I'll continue next week. There are about 8 to 10 hadith in this chapter. So the first hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلَاعٍ وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ مَا فِي الضِّلَاعِ أَعْلَاهُ فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهُ كَسَرْتَهُ وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجَ فَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ. The great Sahabi Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. I am advising you in regards to your women to treat them with goodness. To treat them with goodness. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلَعٍ. Because indeed the woman has been created from a rib. So what does this mean? Inshallah, I'll first translate the hadith. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ مَا فِي الضِّلَعِ أَعْلَاهُ. And the most bent, أَعْوَج means bent. And the most bent part of the rib is the topmost part, or the uppermost part. فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهُ كَسَرْتَهُ. If you try and straighten it, then you will break it. If you go and try and straighten it, you will break it. وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجْ. And if you leave it alone, it will stay bent. Because it's already bent, but if you try and fix it, you will break it. And if you leave it alone, it will stay bent, because that's its original form. فَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ. So again, I am advising you about your wives to treat them with kindness and goodness. So this hadith is very important. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get inundated. So many people would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many women especially, complaining about their husbands. Because women generally, if there's a pious person or someone, they will, and they feel that he's approachable or someone they can connect with, they will go to them and they will say, oh, this is going on, that's going on, even over the smallest issues. So imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has this position. He is the counselor, he is the person to advise everyone. So many women would come, and a lot of them would be complaining about their husbands. So this would really frustrate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are many hadith we find. One hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the sahaba and he was upset. And he said, why is it that the women of Medina are crowding or gathering around the doors of the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then he said, I take the name of Allah and I say to you that the worst of you in the sight of Allah are those who are the worst to your women. And the best of you in the sight of Allah are those who are best to your women. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because I am from those who are the best to their women, who treat their women in the best way. So this is what, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, look, every single person, when you get married, you have a wife, you have a spouse, then you need to keep this in mind, you need to bear this in mind. That, now this point, ulama have differed, how does this work? That the woman was created from a rib. Some ulama say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, then from his rib Allah ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam. Others say that before Adam was created, from the earth that was going to be used, or from the clay that was going to be used to shape the rib of Adam alayhi salam, that same clay was used to form Hawa alayhi salam. But these are details that we do not know too much about. All we can say is this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that the woman, the urat zat, has been created from a rib. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you not see how the rib is bent? It's a bit curved. If you go and try and straighten the rib, you will break it. And if you leave it alone, it will stay bent. Meaning, Rasulullah is advising us in a very subtle way that look, when a person tries to reprimand their wife or try to rectify the mistakes of their wife, they will break their wife. Their wife will no longer remain affectionate towards them. The wife will no longer have love in their hearts towards them. And this can eventually lead in talaq. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا. What does it mean that the rib will break? It means that talaq will happen. Meaning this marriage will not last. Every single mistake you see in your wife, you say, this is your mistake and this is how you're going to correct it. This is your mistake and I want you to correct it in this way. So it will not have a positive effect. Your marriage will break. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you leave it alone and you don't say anything, then the rib will remain bent. Meaning, leave it alone. It's a rib, it's going to remain crooked in this particular way. Leave it alone. You don't need to go and give too much advice where you feel that the advice is not going to work. If you feel, there are many other hadith which I can explain this through, but if you feel that your advice is going to be on point and your advice is going to be well received, then you should offer the advice. But if you know that the advice is not going to work, and we see this is the big problem. You know, people just see the mistake and they say, this is your fault, this is your flaw, and you need to correct your flaw. Rasulullah is clearly telling us here, you try and correct it, you're going to break it. And if you leave it alone, then you just have to have sabr with whatever you have. You have to have the patience. I'll do one more hadith, inshallah, because each hadith explains the other. In the next hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-mar'atu kad-dila'i in aqamtaha kasartaha wa in istamta'ta biha istamta'ta biha wa fiha 'iwajun." That he mentions that the woman is like a rib. If you try and straighten it, you will break it, and if you utilize her, then you will utilize her, but the crookedness will remain. Meaning there will always be that. You will always see the faults, you will always see the issues, but you have to have the sabr, the patience, and you have to deal with that. Don't go and try fixing it. Every mistake you see, fix, because all you will eventually end up doing is you will damage your relationship and you will damage your marriage. And that's how most of young people getting married these days, a few days later, a few weeks later, months later, there's no patience, there's no acceptance. They come and say, I didn't know she was like this, I didn't know she was like that, I didn't know she, every time I do this, she reacts like that. Remember, we have to keep these hadith in front of us. One scholar I was listening to, he was saying, I swear by Allah. He says, I very rarely take a qasam, an oath in the name of Allah. He's an Arab scholar, a great Egyptian muhaddith. And he said that the way I deal with my wife is exactly according to all of the ahadith I read. Everything I have read wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises, or how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises you to deal with your wife, I have been adopting that since the day I got married. And I swear by Allah, I have only seen goodness in that. I have only seen khair in that. I have only seen goodness and happiness in my life, because everything that Rasulullah mentioned in advice regarding to marriage and how to treat your wife, I just followed that verbatim. I just followed that, the way it's mentioned in the book. Another narration, it mentions, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلَعٍ لَنْ تَسْتَقِيمَ لَكَ عَلَىٰ طَرِيقَةٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these all hadith explaining each other that the woman has been created from the rib. You will never be able to straighten her. You will never be able to straighten it. So if you are going to use it, then use it knowing, استَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا وَفِيهَا عِوَجٌ. Use it knowing that it will have crookedness. It will have bentness. I don't know if that's a word. It will have crookedness inside of it. وَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا كَسَرْتَهَا. If you go and try and straighten, you will break it. وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا. And breaking it means that you will finish the marriage. One more last hadith, inshallah, and then we'll stop there. The next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zam'a radiallahu anhu. He mentions, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمْ يَخْطُبُ. That this Sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zam'a radiallahu anhu, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving a khutbah, a speech. وَذَكَرَ النَّاقَةَ وَالَّذِي عَقَرَهَا. And in that speech he was mentioning the camel and the wretched man who killed the camel. Meaning in the time of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam. The Prophet Salih alayhi salam was given the miracle of the camel which came out of a mountain. And it's a very long detailed story, but the Prophet Salih alayhi salam said, look, this camel is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, because his people were asking for a miracle and this camel came out of the mountain. The problem was, however, that this camel would eat as much and drink as much as the rest of the camels which were in the tribe. So whatever they would eat, all the camels together, that single camel could eat all of that food and drink all of that water. So they had a big problem. They said, when this camel eats, our camels have nothing left to graze with, because he eats everything. So then they agreed such that one day this camel is going to graze, and the next day the remaining camels of the tribe are going to graze. They came to this arrangement, but some people are not happy. And some people, they planned to kill the camel. And Allah Ta'ala mentions it in very severe terms in the Quran. And he mentions that Allah Ta'ala mentions that the person who killed the camel of Salih alayhi salam was a very wretched, evil man. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning this incident. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verses, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. Surah Shams, Vashamsi, Waduha. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning about this man. إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala is saying, remember when this very wretched man, ashqa is from the word shaqiyun, which means unfortunate, wretched. And shaqiyun means unfortunate or wretched, and ashqa means the most wretched. So when the most wretched man, he stood up, imba'atha, he stood up very quickly to go and to assault and to kill the camel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. So then Rasulullah was explaining this ayat, he was doing a tafsir of this ayat. He said, imba'atha laha rajulun azizun adimun mani'un fi rahtihi. He was describing this man who stood up very quickly to go and kill the camel of Allah, because that camel was called Naqatullah, the camel of Allah. So he stood up very quickly to go, with haste to go and kill that, and to murder that camel. So Rasulullah describes his qualities, and he says he was a rajulun azizun. He was a man who was very unique. No one else in his tribe was like him. Why? Because of his qualities. Aarimun. He was a very wicked man. He was a very cruel man, very evil man. You can translate aarimun in these different ways. Mani'un fi rahtihi, and he had a very high status in his tribe. So he was one of the chiefs, one of the leaders of his tribe. Some have mentioned his name was Qudar. Qudar. So this man Qudar stood up. Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam tried to stop him, but he was ready. But he said, I'm going to do this, and he actually went and he killed this camel. So whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioning this evil man, Rasulullah in his mind, this advice also came. ثم ذكر النساء. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started talking about women. When he mentioned an evil man, a wicked man, Rasulullah brought in the discussion of women. فوعظ فيهن, and he started to advise us about women. فقال, and then he said, يعمد أحدكم فيجلد امرأته جلد العبد. Some of you go towards your wives and you beat them the way a servant, the way a slave is beaten. فَلَعَلَّهُ يُضَاجِعُهَا مِنْ آخِرِ يَوْمِهِ. However, you still have the face, you still have the audacity. That night you go and you lay with your wives, you sleep with your wives. Meaning you beat them up worse than a person beats a slave, and then you go and you want that love and that affection from them. How are they going to reciprocate? How are they going to display that love and affection if you are not giving it in the first place? You are beating them worse than you're beating a slave. So look at Rasulullah mentioned an evil man's story, Salih, the man who killed the camel of Salih alayhi salam, and from there he connected it to those who hit their wives. Meaning this is the wickedness and the shararat and the evil which is inside of them, which causes them to do this. Remember, it's from the qualities. If anyone reads the Shama'il, the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing everyone mentions is that مَا ضَرَبَ إِمْرَأَةً قَطُّ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever laid his fingers on a woman. He never ever hit a woman. So if this is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can a person say, oh well, in the Qur'an there's ijazat, there's permission, and there's permission here, and it's okay. Look at the example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never ever hit a woman, neither did he ever hit a child. He never hit a woman, nor did he ever hit a child. I'll finish off this hadith. ثُمَّ وَعَظَهُمْ فِي ضَحْكِهِمْ. So Rasulullah advised them about this, and then he advised them about فِي ضَحْكِهِمْ مِنَ الضَّرْطَ. That some sahaba, or some people, when someone would pass wind, fart loudly, some people would start laughing. So Rasulullah then started to advise about that. وقال, and then he said, لِمَا يَضْحَكُ أَحَدُكُمْ مِمَّا يَفْعَلُ. Why does one of you laugh at something which is so normal, which is so natural? Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember in Arabic, ضِحْكُن means when you laugh with noise, with sound. When is tabassum? Tabassum is to smile. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authors of Shama'il, they mentioned that majority of his laughing was just smiling. He rarely made a sound when he laughed. And even when he was very happy, very joyous, he would laugh so, his smile would be so wide that you could see the teeth at the back. But he would generally smile. So dhihk is the next level when you laugh with sound. And generally dhihk happens when something really surprises you, really amazes you for some reason. So Rasulullah is saying, why are you laughing so loud? Why do you become so excited over something which is so natural? This is not normal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising them to stop that. And remember, this is from the qualities of the tribe of the people of Lut alayhi salam, that amongst the many other filthy qualities they had, one of them was that they would, in a gathering, one person would fart loudly, another person would do it, another person would do it, and it was just normal for them. And they would laugh and they would enjoy and they would make this into a humorous thing, something that was very funny. So this was from their qualities. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to practice upon these hadith. Inshallah, there are a few more hadith left of this chapter, which I'll cover next week. Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.